Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Mover Podcast Series. Here you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself. With us today is Ron Bishop, a man who, now that his kids are grown, after raising them pretty much by himself, is much enjoying a car-free lifestyle in Oakland, California. Ron's work as a bike activist is highly regarded in Oakland political circles, by his staff, and by bike activists themselves. So, how you doing today, Ron?
Morning, Martin. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. It's another sunny day in Oakland, and the weather is not overly hot, and it's a nice place to be.
All right. Excellent. That's very excellent. Ron, you've been an Oakland resident for how long?
I moved to Oakland in 1979 so I could finish my education at Berkeley.
And where'd you move from?
I lived in San Diego for a short period, for about 7 years after I got out of the military from Vietnam, and before that I grew up in South Carolina.
So, Ron, you've been car-free for how many years now?
A little over 4 years now.
And where car-free is concerned, has that increased the quality of your life, would you say?
Well, for many years I was a car less and less and less dependent. Mm-hmm. And then when a person with had an epileptic fit and ran into my car and totaled it, I just didn't bother to replace it.
Hmm.
And what it meant was I didn't have to move it from one side of the street to the other because of street sweeping. Because I really wasn't driving it very much anyhow.
Uh-huh.
And I used, occasionally I would have to drive when I would have my daughters, and we would be going to soccer games, and I was a coach and a referee and a bunch of other things during that time of the year too.
Hmm.
So I would have to sometimes deal with teams, and as a coach, I would sometimes have to drive. But most of the time, I would even show up at the soccer game. I'd be there on a bicycle, and it would work fine.
Excellent. Now, when people think of the San Francisco Bay Area, they think of San Francisco as Bike Central. It's pretty much that's the only real name that's synonymous with cycling, I guess, on the bicycle planet, if you will. And yet, Oakland is an incredible place for bike riding. I know that having grown up in the East Bay, I was born in Oakland, grew up in Hayward, that there's a lot about Oakland that cycling that I truly and really miss. And in terms of being car-free, is it pretty easy to be car-free in Oakland?
It's not difficult at all.
No?
Really. If you're a competent cyclist, it's not a problem. If you're not a competent cyclist, then we find all too many of the cyclists doing things that irritate pedestrians and put themselves in unsafe positions.
Irritate cars as well? Is that part of...
They're on the sidewalks, and they don't stop at places where they should stop, and they run lights. And, you know, basically, a lot of the behavior that they probably learned from their parents that were driving cars.
Hmm. Okay. Lake Merritt, is that part of your regular two-wheel haunt? Do you ride that a lot?
I don't normally ride around Lake Merritt right now. I go to Lake Merritt because I like to go down and sit down by the duck islands and listen to the birds at night. It's kind of really unusual to just sit there by the water. It's pretty nice. But to ride around the lake is not something I generally do. I'm basically a commuter person who's going from one place to another. I go to have dinner. I go to meetings. I go to shop.
Hmm.
That's what this is my life.
Uh-huh.
And I don't generally go and ride around for 5 miles and end up where I started and not do anything.
Okay. Interesting sidebar. Some of my research for my book, How America Can Bike and Grow Rich, I've done some research for Oakland. And did you know that Oakland was, Lake Merritt was America's first nature protected reserve because of the birds? You weren't allowed to hunt there?
Bird sanctuary in the
world. Bird sanctuary, yeah. Exactly, right. Too wild.
So the largest Saltwater Lake encompassed in the city limits.
Right, exactly. Right. Wow. So where the jewel of Lake Merritt is concerned, and some of the beautiful riding in the hills, where you can look out on the on a San Francisco Bay that looks alive with magic, skyline, and some of those roads up there, Grizzly Peak. How would you rate Oakland as a biking city?
I think Oakland has never really attempted to seriously reach its potential. We're all still caught up in the need to cater to the motorist. And when we finally reach the level of making that shift, then things will just go crazy. We will be the new Netherlands.
It's
really the truth.
The new what now?
The new Europe.
Okay.
It will be the place where you can bicycle.
Okay. Huh.
It's very friendly. It's you can go north and south in the flats. You can go north and south in the hills. And you can, it's just very nice the way the topography is laid out in Oakland.
So essentially what you're saying is if you want hills, they're available. If you want flats, which you don't have to get the big sweat worked up, that's just part of the turf in Oakland.
You can go burn your testosterone here, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Unlike San Francisco, which is the number one biking city, pretty much anywhere you go there is going to be fraught with hills.
It depends. It depends on where you're going. If you're trying to go to Golden Gate Park, which people end up bicycling, either you live in the area or you drive your car with your bikes on the back to Golden Gate Park in order to ride your bicycle. I don't understand why people would drive a car somewhere to ride a bicycle.
And in Oakland, you don't have to do that. If you want to go to some of the best riding in the world, I'm not kidding, that I've found in the Oakland Hills, for example, over to Moraga and Points Unknown, I guess that's east of Oakland, it's phenomenal. And it's all flat roads to get there, correct?
You have to climb the hill to get over to Orinda and Moraga and the other side of
the
East Bay. But
that's the
once
only
you get
climbing.
Over there, the thing about what happens over there is that they have trails there that are totally off-road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a phenomenal system that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I found that there is no place to stop for a drink or eat anything on those trails.
Okay.
I like to usually go somewhere to have something. Riding the trail is fun, but, it doesn't really fulfill my needs.
I'm in full concert with that. I think what I was trying to say, Ron, was that the roads that lead to those hills through Oakland, where it's flat, and I'm just asking you to agree with me, the fact that indeed it is flat to get to the hills in Oakland.
It's flat to the hill. You have to climb up the hill and down the other side.
Right. But so essentially there's tons of riding in Oakland that's flat, that's worthy.
It's not difficult to find a hill at all. When you go to Sacramento, it's difficult to find a hill.
Right, okay.
We've got plenty to go around.
Right, but you don't have to ride them.
Not if you don't want to.
Right, great. Now, yesterday was car-free day, World Car-Free Day. That's the second car-free day you've done there in Oakland, the second annual. And you ran the parking. What was your pickup about car-free day? What was your sense of what took place yesterday?
Overall, I was satisfied. I would like to see more people actually consider it as an alternative, but I always find more excuses to why I need to take a car instead of excuses as to why I should ride my bicycle. I think more people need to look at it. Geez, now what can I use for a reason to ride my bike today?
Mm-hmm.
Or right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I can come up with a million of them. I have no problem at all.
Okay. Now you're an architect, a green architect. What is the name of your company?
Right now, Bishop Architecture.
Bishop Architecture. Now, can you explain what's meant by green architecture?
Green architectures means that you're using products that are sustainable. You're not using products that you're using products that are locally available rather than ordering a marble from Italy. You're maybe using a product that is available locally instead, which decreases the construction cost, decreases the non-renewable fuel sources that you could be using to transport the materials. And I'd rather use something that is more readily available and causes less of an impact on society as a whole and the world as a whole. And then there's other issues around the green architecture that's just outside green architecture, which is the energy information that should be considered. And I am involved in specifying products that are energy efficient and therefore provide the inhabitant with a more livable area without having to consume massive quantities to get it to that level, as well as producing electricity and water on site by having solar electric and solar hot water heating, which is really solar hot water heating is the most efficient way to go.
Mm-hmm. Do you at all kind of spec out like Jan Lundberg up in Arcata talks a lot about digging your driveway up and planting gardens there? Is that something that you call for once in a while?
I have done a depaving on Malcolm X School when I was working for Berkeley Unified, and we took the asphalt off of about half of the playground, and I took the asphalt portion and had it sent to a recycle location in Richmond, and I took the gravel, the underbase, the subbase, and had it piled up to make hills, and then brought in new soil to cover the hills and cover the soil that I needed to cover, and planted a playground where it was not asphalt anymore. As far as I know, that's one of the first depaving projects that I knew about at the time.
Huh.
This was back in 1993 or 4.
Wow. Indeed, it was one of the first. I know that when I was doing the Auto Free Times for Jan up in Arcata there, when he had the Auto Free Times, it's now become Culture Change, he had a lot of deep paving projects going on up there, and that was 1995 or so, and that was pretty much where he was kind of getting that discussion on into the foreground of things. I also want to talk about that map that you gave me, the Oakland map.
Walk Oakland.
Right. What is there about that makes it unique? I was impressed by, you even knew how many stairs there were in every neighborhood. You've ridden every road in Oakland, and it was on that map, and that's quite a few. How many, you said yesterday how many square miles of roads there are in Oakland. How many miles was that figure again?
I'm guessing about 4,000 miles.
And you've ridden every
road in order to the city.
Okay. So is there any history about that map that you can help my listeners understand?
It was spawned from a collaboration with Jason Patton, who works for the city. At the time, we were doing the pedestrian master plan. And Jason actually came up with the idea of producing a map that showed the steepness of hills and tried to map the stairways that exist in Oakland from our former reliance on cable, on a streetcar delivery for transportation, because the streetcar would take you out to a location and then the stairways would go up to the hills and the city and the houses, and people would get off the streetcar and walk the stairways. And we didn't have a map of that anywhere. And so we basically made copies of AAA map, Xeroxed them, and I put it onto my handlebars on a little clipboard, and I rode the city streets with an electronic level and mapped the city, and then also pointed out all the locations of the stairways that I located. And then we also had some information from maps in the city that talked about where there was a right-of-way issue, and when we would check the right-of-way issues, often there would be a staircase there. So that was a lot of help in locating some of the stairways, which were very hidden.
Wow. Have you ever seen a more comprehensive map anywhere?
Of this in
yeah.
Oakland? No. There are books about just San Francisco and books about Berkeley, but this is the only thing about Oakland.
No, there's no
other place to get the information.
No. What I'm wondering is, like, have you ever seen a more comprehensive map anywhere in the United States of a city mapped as intricately as this, as your Oakland is mapped?
No, there's one in San Francisco that is similar, but doesn't have nearly the amount of information.
It doesn't have the steps, or doesn't have...
Doesn't have the stairs. It does have the color coding of the steepness of the streets, but it, I don't think it has nearly the detail that goes into the Oakland map.
So essentially then, am I probably stepping over my bounds when I say it's probably the most detailed map in the nation for hikers and bikers?
I hate to step over the line, but it probably is.
Wow. You even know, you said that there's a 20% grade street in Oakland, is that right? Or steeper?
Yeah, 82nd Avenue is about 24 something percent grade.
Holy criminy. That's amazing. You also talked about some stairs that there were several landings that level areas. You go upstairs and it would go like to this little veranda area or something like that.
Oh yeah, there's a plaza about halfway up.
Yeah.
With benches on each, stone benches, and they're very intricate. It's left over from, I guess, the WPA.
Wow.
But it's not like just a slab concrete bench. It's really nice.
Hmm.
It's a nice little place to just kind of hang out and chat.
Huh.
I was there last weekend. I took a friend who wasn't aware of what Oakland had to offer, and I took her for a walk in the hills to show her that these kind of things exist.
Hmm.
There's another one that has a really nice bench that used to have a view, but the trees have since grown up and obscured the view because it used to have a view of the bay. And it's also, it's right along Highway 24, not very far from 24.
Wow. So in sum then, Ron, Oakland has always been kind of seen as like San Francisco's little kind of orphan brother. There's no there ad infinitum as such around that. Would you go as far as to say that given just a few tweaks that Oakland's not real far behind in terms of the someone can discover if they were to come and bike in Oakland?
I meet many people, and I know many people from outside of Oakland that I meet, and I bring them to Oakland, and I show them in Oakland that nobody has an idea exists. Once you learn what's really here in Oakland, you just wonder why anybody would think otherwise. I have Lake Merritt, I have the hills, I have Lake Temescal, have all the places to eat. I mean, the variety of Epicurean delights in Oakland is unsurpassed.
Do you take them down to Jack London Square? Do you take them down by the water? Where else do you go in Oakland?
Well, I don't generally go to Jack London Square. That's where they take the tourist.
Mm-hmm.
I generally find other locations. Fruitvale, go down to the celebrate the Hispanic Society in Fruitvale.
Mm-hmm.
I do like to go to College Avenue and Piedmont Avenue and Berkeley because they're all right here where I live.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the fact that we have most of our theaters are still the old style. We haven't gone to the giant megaplex with the giant parking lot surrounding it.
Right, right.
And that's one thing. I just don't understand how people can go to those boxes.
I rode home yesterday after Car Free Day, as we talked a little earlier before this show came on, and I rode from Oakland back to Hayward, and I rode along the water. I rode through Alameda, and it was pleasant, very pleasant. I very much enjoyed it. And I was impressed, and along the Embarcadero there, along the water, there's a wonderful bike lane.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You've got the freeway next to you on the other side, but it was wonderful. You know, this is great stuff, you know. So I think that with Catherine Hughes and some of the other political people there, there's kind of a move afoot to kind of, what is the, there's something about me, you guys want to make Oakland a walkable city? Something that there's like a political kind of mandate for that?
A walkable, livable city, yes.
Okay, so that's kind of a proclamation. There's language for that then.
I believe so.
Okay.
And it's you know, in history, Oakland was a walkable, livable city, as were many of American cities.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the advent of the automobile, we lost that.
Mm-hmm.
We became a city, a population that drove everywhere, especially in the 50s when Eisenhower and the freeway system decided to get involved, and soon we are not knowing even our neighbors anymore because we don't actually walk anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happening in Oakland is I go to community meetings all over town now, and I meet the same people. It's really an interesting place, and I've been to many other places. I've never been to another place like this.
Kind of interesting sidebar for you is the fact that Oakland used to be the home of General Motors and Ford. They were out there on East 14th Street on the east end of Oakland. I'm sure you knew that.
No, I did not.
Yeah, Oakland, the old General Motors on the way into San Leandro has now become, I think, an artist's kind of colony or something like that. Yeah,
no, I didn't know that was it the Vulcan?
Is that what it's called now?
I believe so.
Yeah, it was like the old GM plant. And that got moved down to Fremont, and Fremont kind of became the new car city of the East Bay, as if you will. But so that kind of maybe that hedged. Yeah.
If you look at Oakland, the older Oakland, yep, and around the Lake Merritt area,
mm-hmm,
it's much more of a livable design. As you
right.
get into East Oakland,
mm-hmm,
it becomes more like suburbia.
Right.
And it hasn't quite made the transition yet to get back to being more like Oakland, the rest of Oakland. East
right.
Oakland is an entirely different, it's almost an entirely different city.
Yeah. On lots of levels, in lots of ways.
Yeah.
Yes. Would you consider the Oakland Airport, is that East Oakland? Or that?
Well, that's kind of divorced from East Oakland because of the freeway.
Right, okay.
But, It's certainly a suburban design.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to get there without
right.
a motor vehicle.
Right. So at what point does East Oakland begin?
We're working to change that, by the way.
Great. At what point does East Oakland begin? Is that at Hagenberger or something like that? Or?
That would be a close enough spot. It's,
okay.
It's basically somewhere just east of the Fruitvale.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't know that there's a definite definition of the dividing line or where it starts.
I understand that and kind of feel that to be true. And yet there almost really are two Oaklands. One is more like the East Bay that from which I was from, being Hayward, and one's like the old Oakland to which you refer, where it was really rich history. Houdini hung off the Tribune Tower back in the early 1900s, and there were streetcars, and it was just a wonderful place. So, wow. Well, it sounds like with you...
There's
with
actually three Oaklands, Martin. There's
north?
The downtown area, Oakland, the old history type, the area
uh-huh.
where I live, in the flatlands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's the East Oakland, and then there's
mm-hmm.
the kind of the Hills Oakland, which is really a separate issue in a lot of ways because it's...
Hmm.
They do have their little villages in Montclair.
Montclair.
But it's really a long walk with no sidewalks, and narrow roads, and they like living in the hills. That's why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as the gasoline is $10-$15 a gallon, they're going to start looking at other ways to make their little area more walkable as well.
Right. Well, Montclair is pretty self-sustainable, isn't it?
As long as you live close enough to downtown, the little shopping district, yes.
Yeah, okay.
It has a nice community. I go up there quite often. I have quite
yeah.
a few friends that live there.
Uh huh.
They have their own bicycle group called the Velociraptors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they ride up. They ride every Sunday morning, and
yeah.
they leave from the Royal Grounds Coffee Shop.
Huh. Wow. Fascinating. Wow. Well, it sounds like with your help, we're going to kind of resurrect Oakland. We're going to bring Oakland back to its former prominence as a number one biking city, and the city that Thomas Stevens left from when he went around the world as the first man to ride a bike around the world in 1884. Also, in addition, that was also the home of the Columbus Day races, run like Merritt. Do you remember those?
I'd heard about this, you know, that Oakland, that Lake Merritt was one of the premier places to race bicycles.
Yeah, so maybe that's all going to come back. Especially,
well, we are getting bike lanes constructed around Lake Merritt. That's one of the issues that I'm working on now.
Right, and a dam going up, a bikeable infrastructure going up around the dam part of Lake Merritt as well. Huh?
That's shrinking from the world's shortest freeway at 12 lanes. It's already down to 11, and we're going to take it down to 6.
Great. All right. Well, I'm excited. Well, Ron, as usual, it's always extremely inspiring to talk to you and informative. I think on that note, I'm going to let you get back to your architecture and other bike stuff that you do. Anything you'd like to add at this point?
I guess just that we need to make sure that everybody, no matter where they happen to live, that they need to speak up as well and make friends and don't take no for an answer. And we can be more bikeable and more friendly in a lot of ways and throughout our cities. Pedestrians are our friends. Bicycles and pedestrians are in the boat together, and we really need to work together to make things differently.
All right, Ron. Well, again, a couple billion.
Nice to meet you too, Martin, by the way.
A couple billion thanks for your time, man. You're great. And thanks again for riding for us last year from Berkeley to Oakland and just for being the guiding and power force you are there in Oakland and with the EBBC there. So. I can't enough say thanks, and on that note, I'm going to let you go. And thanks, Ron.
You have a good day, Martin.
Okay, guys.
Good weekend.
All right, you too. You can talk with Ron about green architecture or about biking in Oakland at rbishop747@aol.com. That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenway Mountain Movers Interview Series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG Director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more info about the National Bicycle Greenway, go to nationalbicyclegreenway.com.